Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
This podcast is powered by Podcast Network Asia. For more information on the shows and the network, visit podcastnetwork.asia and Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast. Sign up for free at podmetrics.co and use my referral code RJ Ledesma.
I espouse, right, to hire the right team, hire teams that are better than you all the time, and listen to them, make them accountable. My management style, I always tell the guys, right, that whoever's closest to the system makes that decision. That model will work for most startups or companies, or even big companies, because a startup is all about speed and validation and pivoting. It's that culture, right, of accountability and freedom as well that you'd like to build.
And hello, good evening. Welcome to the RJ Ledesma podcast. I hope that you're all having a great Tuesday evening. And again, advance Merry Christmas to all of you. In the RJ Ledesma podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs and learn more about what they think about business and how they think about business. What are their success secrets? Can we hack those same success secrets as well? How they have innovated their businesses during this pandemic? And what opportunities do they see emerging here in the new normal? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. Drop me a message. And right now, we are also live on Kumu, CBRC-TV, and Global Pinas TV. This week, I'm looking forward to interviewing a really great entrepreneur who's got a lot of insight about the industry, of the startup industry, the telecom industry. And I had the chance to interview him in the recently successfully concluded Philippine Startup Week. For this week's live stream on the RJ Ledesma podcast, we will be sitting down with 917 Ventures Managing Director Vince Yamat. Now, 917 Ventures is the largest corporate incubator here in the country, and it leverages on the rich asset base of Globe Telecom. Its mission is to improve the lives of over 110 million Filipinos by building, operating, and scaling startups that tackle the biggest pain points, especially in a developing country like our own. So right now, 917 Ventures focuses on four verticals, which include fintech, e-commerce, health tech, and ad tech. So if any startups out there have any ideas within these four verticals, please do let our friends from 917 Ventures know. Their portfolio includes GCash, PureGo, Consulta MD, HealthNow, AdSpark, Rush, Freebie M&L, and Zeal. So if out there you've got a startup idea that can help solve a problem in everyday life, please let the people here in 917 Ventures know more about it. Find out about Velocity, their venture builder program starting this January 2021. Vince will tell us more about it here on the podcast, and how, if you join up with Velocity, you can leverage Globe's unfair advantage. And with that, please welcome on my show, Mr. Vince Yamat.
Thank you, RJ, for having me.
Hey, thanks so much, Vince. I know this is going to sound like a replay of what we did the last time, but you know what? I was so intrigued, really, by 917 Ventures, and many people are also wondering right now, what exactly is 917 Ventures? Is this a corporate arm of Globe? Is it related to, I know that Globe also has this thing called Kickstart Ventures. So what exactly does 917 Ventures fit into the whole scheme of things when it comes to Globe?
Right. So thank you, RJ, for having me here. So yes, so 917 Ventures is a Globe's corporate incubator. The primary purpose of the incubator is to unlock the unfair advantage of Globe. So we build businesses and scale the business for the region and for the Philippines as well. As mentioned earlier, in your introduction, we have several portfolio companies in 917 Ventures. That's GCash, AdSpark, Consulta MD, HealthNow, Rush, PB, M&L, and Zeal. And currently we're looking for and we're developing new businesses as we go along. Now, what's the difference between Kickstart and 917 Ventures? 917 Ventures is a venture builder. We build businesses. We ideate internally. It's our own idea or the ideas of those who will join us. and then we build it from the ground up. While Kickstart, on the other hand, invests in startups, so they deploy capital to the startups.
Oh, okay, so they deploy capital, and in your part on 917 Ventures, if somebody's got a really great business idea that solves pain points, then they come over to you. That's right?
Correct. So they join 917 Ventures, they're going to be part of the team, and then we're going to create a venture, a new venture together.
Okay, but when people come over to you, especially during this startup world, no, they keep on thinking, do I have to know how to code? Do I have to have a specific background in the startup industry? Or do they just have to have a great idea and they can come over to 917 Ventures and say, hey, I got this great idea. You guys want to invest in the idea or in me?
So the nice thing about 917 Ventures, you don't have to know how to code, right? You can be just a venture builder. What we're really looking for is a venture builder. Someone who's really passionate about a problem or someone who really loves to solve that problem. So we're right after talent rather than the idea. We strongly believe, kasi RJ, that if you're obsessed with that problem and if you really love that problem, you're not going to give up in solving that problem. So it's like falling in love with someone. If you really love someone and you're obsessed with someone, you don't give up. Right, you
make you're lovesick with the problem.
No, exactly, and you make it work, right? You find ways to make it work. You adjust, diba? You adjust with your relationship. Same goes with putting up a business and solving a business problem. You pivot just to make it work.
So you're looking for people with discarte. I mean, in other words, right? That's in simple words, in Filipino terms, that's discarte that you're looking for, or it's more than just that.
It's more than that. Like for example, like what I've said during the Philippine Startup Week, we're looking for that high potential talent. And once we spot that high potential talent, the 917 Venture infrastructure will make that talent a winner, giving all the support in the infrastructure of the business. So for example, if you're a typical venture builder or a founder, majority of your time is basically not into venture building. You're doing financing, payroll, administrative stuff, looking for the right engineer to build. But in 917 Venture, on day one, we provide all of that ecosystem or all of that infrastructure and resources. And then we can now start building our own product together.
So it's sort of like the venture builder is the guy who's able to identify the pain points. And what you've done in 917 Ventures is that you've identified the pain points of a startup entrepreneur, which is basically finance, software development, administration, and you solve those pain points for them, right?
Correct. Because a venture builder, in our opinion, the focus is really should be building the product and talking to the customers. All of this distraction of like fundraising, right? A lot of the founders out there are basically just chasing money, right? And trying to convince investor. In 917 Ventures, the capital is ready for deployment for your product.
I see. Now, as we were talking, there were four what we call verticals. Now, for those who aren't too familiar with the industry and use the term verticals, what exactly does it mean you're solving four verticals?
Right. So in 917 Ventures, for the current focus is basically on fintech, health tech, ad tech, e-commerce, and a lot more now. But basically, these are the four focus areas. We want to focus on these areas because we're already playing in these areas. And when you work on an ecosystem play, usually all of the ideas work closely together. So we want to leverage on that one. So for example, if you have a fintech idea, so we have GCash. GCash basically, I believe, is the largest fintech company in the country with more than 26 million users. So if you have a lending product idea or whatever fintech idea, we can work closely with GCash. Same goes with health tech. For health tech, we're doubling down. If you notice, we have two startups in the health tech ecosystem. So that's ConsultaMD and HealthNow, providing quality healthcare services to the nation.
And you were saying also there were others like in ad tech and fintech. What are these others that you're also doing? And e-commerce?
We're doing a lot of things for ad tech. We strongly believe that there's a big opportunity in ad tech. If you notice, most of the digital ad spend now are in Facebook and Google. And we see that there's a lot of inefficiencies. No matter how much data you have, the conversion rate is not, it's really low, right? So we're trying to solve that one by creating businesses such as PB Manila, wherein you can target an opt-in base within Globe Telecom or within 917 Ventures. On the e-commerce part, we have a new e-commerce startup called PureGo. PureGo, we announced very recently, is a partnership with Pure Gold, a really massive retail company. So that's basically one of our bigger plays now. And looking forward to scale that business also with our partners.
Okay, so what it looks like is that basically you're creating companies out of Globe from people's great business ideas that can link up to the Globe ecosystem, to the larger Globe ecosystem. And those four things which they can link into right now are basically ad tech, fintech, e-commerce, and health tech, which Globe already has. And you've been talking about this earlier on, and I see it in the materials which do come out about 917. You leverage Globe's unfair advantage. What exactly does it mean when you say an unfair advantage for Globe?
Right. So the unfair advantage is fairly simple. Globe has more than 80 million subscribers. So any company that we're building in 917 Ventures will have access to that 80 million subscribers. The Globe business will support all of these startups that we're currently building. And we've proven that one. Look at GCash, how massive GCash is right now. More than 26 million subscribers. So, and basically it's the same playbook that we're gonna work on. If you look at also our model, the Globe business is the core business. We provide mobile connectivity, internet connectivity, or DSL connectivity, broadband connectivity. What we want to do is basically add more businesses or extend, right, our relationship with the customers. So just imagine me here at home. I'm a mobile postpaid customer of Globe. I'm also a mobile broadband customer of Globe. But I'm also a GCash customer of Globe, right? So the value that I transact within GCash is basically an additional value within our ecosystem. But at the same time, I also transact and do my grocery using PureGo, wherein, let's say, my average basket size is, let's say, 5,000 pesos, right? And therefore, the total relationship of Globe to me grows, right, organically. And then I subscribe to HealthNow and Consulta MD. Let's say I spend, I don't know, 50 to 100 pesos a month on my health services. So the total relationship to me within the Globe ecosystem basically is bigger. And as we create more businesses, the total relationship grows, right, with me and with Globe.
When I look at it, it's sort of like, I mean, for lack of a better business model, you're actually borrowing what they're doing in China and looking at the other models in China where it's sort of a super app that you're creating. Were you looking at the examples in the Chinese ecosystem to develop what 917 Ventures is? Is that what you're looking forward to creating?
The leadership of 917 Ventures and Globe, we've been to China several times. In fact, a lot of the leadership of the company went to China like, I don't know, maybe two or three times for an immersion. And we've learned a lot, right? When you build ecosystem, you basically create more value or add more value to a customer. And if you do that, your business basically grows. So that's what we're trying to do in 917 Ventures. Basically providing what the customer wants. We don't like building products that the customer will not use, right? Because at the end of the day, if they don't use your product, it means that you're not solving their pain point. So.
Okay. And having said that, now I'm looking across, you know, 917 Ventures. It's to me, being a customer and somebody looking at it as an entrepreneur, mentor, and speaker, now 917 Ventures seems to be a relatively new company, at least from publicly speaking. Has it been around for a long time inside Globe, and then recently it was spun out of Globe? How did that work?
No, it's fairly new, RJ. 917 Ventures as a corporate incubator is also a startup. I think we're like more than a year old now. Maybe 13, 14 months old. So it's a startup in itself, right? So
I see.
So just imagine we built startups during the pandemic, right? And these are really good startups called HealthNow, PureGo. And we created these businesses from the comfort of our own homes, right? And through Zoom meetings and closing joint venture deals. So it's possible. So it's a startup. We're learning as well as we go along.
Have you ever felt like you needed to take your life to the next level? If yes, then go ahead and check out my podcast called Small Talk with Alec Cuenca. Allow me to share with you wisdom by ancient philosophers and modern thinkers, partnered with practical science-driven advice. All of that and more only here on Podcast Network Asia.
So the things like GCash and Consulta, they were already fully formed when they came over to 917 Ventures. Is that right? I mean, to start off the company.
Correct. So 917 Ventures, before is a non-operating holding company. So GCash and Consulta, they're really under 917 Ventures or Globe Capital Venture Holdings.
I see. Okay.
And then what we're doing is we're creating more portfolio companies under 917 Ventures.
Okay. And then finally, this is interesting. You're actually creating a venture builder program. And I understand it's called Velocity. There's been a lot of people in the startup PH communities and the other FB communities. They're wondering, I mean, how do I take part? And people have been asking, how do I take part in this Velocity program?
So we're looking for venture builders right now as we speak to join our first group of venture builders or first season, as we say, hit internally. All they need to do is go to velocity.917ventures.com, fill up the application form, submit a very straightforward idea. The idea we'll use, right, to assess the thinking process that you put in into your idea. And then we're going to use that one when we interview you. So it's not much different from when you apply in a business school, right, wherein you write an essay and the admission office reviews the essay and then gives you a call and asks you more about it.
So if they get into the program, what do they get out of the program?
Right. So when they get into the program, we start building. We're going to agree on the problem that we're going to try to solve. And then we're going to agree on a solution on how to execute it. And then after that one, we basically deploy the resources needed. So you'll have your engineering team ready. You'll have your marketing scrum team ready. You'll have the researchers ready, financing, et cetera, ready to deploy the solution. It's a three-month program. We're going to build the product in a month or so. We strongly believe in 917 Ventures that if you don't build your product within 30 days, it's not a minimum viable product. What we're after here is to build a minimum viable product and try and test, right, if we're really solving the customer problem that we agreed on.
Okay, so you're expecting that everything that gets out of this, that enters the Velocity program, will eventually be commercialized, or you're saying, you know, there's still going to be an attrition rate, or, you know, people are just going to drop out because that's naturally how it works, I guess, in the startup world.
Correct. So after the MVP, we will pilot your product, right? In the real world, it's a real test product or pilot test. What we're going to do is we will test if, again, customers are using it. And then after the pilot, we will close out the pilot and then review. Okay. Once we review, we will go to the 917 Ventures Investment Committee to present the result. And if there's a need to put in more capital, this is basically a seed capital already in 917 Ventures, wherein you can raise maybe $200,000 or $500,000 to $2 million in seed capital and start validating more the business or the product. And then right after that one, we will review it again and decide if this is a product or an idea that we can spin off as a company. And that's basically the ultimate goal, right? Spin it off and then scale it, just like how we scaled GCash, Consulta, MD, and AdSpark.
When you say scale it, of course, the venture builder, whoever comes in, he's thinking, okay, great. I mean, I want to come to Velocity, but this is my idea. I mean, if I was to join, the biggest question I have in my head is that how much equity would I have in that business since it's my idea, but Globe is the one providing the resources for me to be able to make that company come to fruition?
Right. That's a really good question, RJ. And we've been asked that a lot. So you join 917 Venture, you're basically a venture builder. You provide all the capital, right? So you're the talent who's going to work with us to build that company or to build that idea. If the company spins off, right, and you decide to join that spin-off company, that's where you're going to get your equity. You're going to work for that company. That company will have to form their own ESOP plans or whatever incentive plans that they decide. And that's where it starts. And that's basically the birth of the company when you spin off. But prior to that one, it's basically us validating the product. There's no equity yet in discussion during that early stage.
Does he get a sort of allowance as he's working on the project the whole time?
The venture builder will be paid. Yeah, it's going to be compensated. So that's a nice thing about that, right? You're experimenting, you're building something, but you're getting something.
I see. Very interesting. And having said all that, Wano, what have you seen? Because I know that you were the head of innovation inside Globe, and you were really looking outside. And we're looking for people, you're saying, have not necessarily the great idea, but have the talent. So over your years of identifying innovative products, and I guess people at the same time, what have you seen as maybe their common denominator? Because, I mean, they don't have to come from software. They don't have to come. They can come from sales. They can come from, I don't know, multimedia arts. What have you seen as being the common denominator of the type of people that you've been looking for?
The common denominators are they're really, really passionate about a problem, right? And they're obsessed with the problem. That's the super common denominator. They always want to disrupt the status quo. Parang the question is, why can't we change this? They're always curious about a problem. Also, they're very entrepreneurial. Well, entrepreneurial is, it's debatable. But a lot of them are entrepreneurial. A lot of them have grit, and they're a team player as well. So these are the common denominators that I'm seeing for like a good venture builder or an innovator.
So many of these things you can only tell if they will be good when they actually go through the process.
Exactly. So and that's basically the point, right? Hey, join us. You have 3 months, right? And then the way they behave during the program is basically are good for us, right? So we'll be able to observe, we'll be able to see them, if they can pivot, if they're resilient, if, you know, they don't give up easily. Building a product is very difficult. Sometimes you have to believe in it, right? So that you defend it with your colleagues. So for example, just imagine this. You're a venture builder. You're a young venture builder. And then the guys surrounding you are experienced entrepreneurs, right? Experienced venture builders in big corporate. The tendency for some is to basically just give up, right? Okay, I'll defer to your decision. No. We're looking for someone who's really passionate and who can defend, right, the solution and the problem that we're trying to solve.
Now, talking about all this one, you know, you're the head right now of, you're the managing director of 917 Ventures, but you came from Globe. And before you were managing director, you were actually a managing partner and an entrepreneur in residence. So it's a nice kind of, you know, evolution for you there. But before that, in Globe, you did wear your hat as head of innovation. So it's very interesting for me to see how you moved up to, you know, it's sort of like the position that you held previously really built you up to become the head of a company which is a venture builder company. Tell us a bit more about your what I like to call the secret origin. How did Vince Yamat start out over here in you know, because this is a unique position, and I don't see anybody you know uniquely fit for. I mean, you couldn't have, you know, it's not a cookie cutter position that you get into. You sort of had to develop your own set of skills to get where you are. What did you start off with? Were you a tech guy?
No. Actually, I'm actually not an entrepreneur at the start. I'm just your typical employee who took the leap of faith as my career progressed. I started my career, RJ, as an equities trader and jump ship into IT during the .com era.
Okay. Why did you jump ship? I mean, at the time, I know that we're more or less, we don't, you know, we look very young, but we're batchmates. You know, we were working in the early 90s. No? That during that time, I mean, equities trading was a big thing. And then to jump ship into, you know, internet, that unheard of, right? I mean, it's like taking a chance.
Correct. No. So that's a really good question. So I was trading foreign stocks, and you see stocks called like AOL, CompuServe, Yahoo, and you look at them, like, what the hell are these companies? What do they have? You look at the balance sheet, there's nothing there. But the stock value is increasing, right? And I got interested. And then an analyst told me that, hey, Vince, this is the next San Francisco gold rush. Remember during the San Francisco gold rush, doctors became miners, right? Okay. I don't want to be a doctor, I just start mining, right? That's basically what I did. I don't want to be a trader. I'm going to go into IT. And the first company that I saw was an ISP, an internet service provider. So I joined an ISP in the very early stage of my career and started selling connectivity. So imagine this, right? So I'm from stock trading, from selling companies, right? Your stock, I'm now selling internet connectivity. And during that time, I remember that 128 kbps connectivity is 60,000 pesos a month.
60,000 pesos a month?
Yes, 60,000 pesos a month, right? So it's really expensive. And a 64 kbps, like 30,000 pesos a month. And that's for big corporate. So that's my first exposure to IT.
I have a question there. I mean, I'm looking at your experience there because, I mean, not to, you know, say that it was, not a good move. But, you know, at that time, you know, if I was doing corporate work, right, and I moved from selling equity to selling connectivity, it would seem like to me, you know, it was a demotion. You became you were trading stocks. Now you're a salesman. And some people, you know, but, you know, it must have been a humbling experience for you. What is that like? I mean, because you have to have that sort of like firm attitude that, you know, this is going to take me somewhere. Because if you didn't have a vision at the time, that would be difficult to my mind.
It is. But I have this tendency of looking at the tailwinds when market changes, right? So when I saw the opportunity that, hey, oh my God, this internet thing is something. So I jumped ship, right? Joined an internet company. In fact, right after that one, I saw an opportunity that, hey, mobile is happening. Mobile phones, right? So everyone's starting to buy mobile phones in the early 2000s. And then I said, no, I want to be in that industry as well. So I joined Nokia. In Nokia, I was the head of their multimedia business and their gaming business. So, but while I was in Nokia, I realized that, hey, these devices are literally nothing without the content and applications inside it. And when I was thinking about that one, maybe that's better. Maybe I should be in the content business or in the application side of the business. And I left Nokia and joined an internet a content provider business. And when I joined that content provider business, RJ, that's in the early 2000s. I saw the entrepreneurial spirit of my colleagues, wherein they're building products that people are basically subscribing into and paying. So these are simple products such as horoscope, ringtones, simple Java games, etc. So I joined that company, Startupy. I think I'd like to believe that it's the first startup ecosystem in the country when it comes to tech. And then after that one, I said, I really like what's happening here. Maybe I should put up my own company.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically it, right? I said, I want to put up my own company. I was in my early 30s, I think. And then I said, I'm still young. If I fail, I can still go back to corporate. So I started my own company.
Hi there, my name is Laika Maravilla. Has anyone ever called you a try-hard? Is trying hard a bad thing or a good thing? Let's talk about that in the Trying Hard with Laika Maravilla podcast, brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics.
What is the pain point that you were looking at when you began your own company? Because I like this journey so far, because I like how you kind of like, you kind of made your own career path, right? And you said, okay, from IT because it's good, to devices, to all of a sudden content development. What was the opportunity or the irritation that you saw that was not present in the market that you could do when you created your own company?
Okay, so that's a good question, RJ. So back then, the Philippines, the SMS capital of the world, right? We're basically the hotbed of all of these SMS or mobile technologies. So what I did was I look at the market wherein that ecosystem is not yet happening. And the market is the United States of America. I said, oh my God, no one's SMSing in the States. No one's texting, right? And I said, maybe I should just port this product idea, what we're doing in the Philippines, in the United States. And basically started a company in the United States serving media companies. So the pain point then is, remember all of these radio stations before, wherein to request for a song, you need to call them. Right. Hey, you play this song, right? So I provided a platform for that, for the radio stations, wherein you can just text the DJ and make that request. So basically built that company there and also started to license unbranded content in the US. It was tough because the US market is very different from the Philippines. That's why what I'm saying is, what works in a certain market doesn't necessarily will work in your market, right? Or in a different market.
This is quite incredible, Vince, for me. You left the Philippines to put up a company in the US, and you know, based on what you thought would be successful over there, in terms of, you know, understanding our geography over here. So how did it do? Was it moderately successful, or was it like, okay, I learned my lesson, let's go back home? What happened there?
Yeah, so I did that for I think 5 years, right? It was hard. The recession hit maybe 2009 or 2008, and no one's spending in the United States. And we've decided, and my partner said, okay, let's just go back to the region, to Southeast Asia. In fact, started talking to like Indonesian telcos, started working there, but it's really different. It was painful. The entrepreneurial journey is really, really hard, right? You're basically doing everything on your own. You're the janitor of your company. You're also the CEO of your company. And to all the entrepreneurs out there, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Exactly. I do, exactly.
Yep. You have a really good business card with the title CEO, but you're also the one throwing the trash, right, in the office. So literally doing everything, diba? So what happened was we wind down that company. And then there was an opportunity from Globe to join the group to run Entertainment Gateway Group, which is basically a wholly owned subsidiary of Globe Telecom. So Entertainment Gateway Group is basically the same. It's a content provider business. So I was the GM of Entertainment Gateway Group. They invited me to run the company. We pivoted it by adding new businesses. And Entertainment Gateway Group now is called Yondu, massive company under Globe Telecom still. And then from there, RJ, they asked me, hey, why not join Globe Telecom, run the innovation group? And then from there on, I started my career inside Globe Telecom. And then now in 907 Venture.
Now, this is interesting. I want to go back a bit more. So this is a great story, Vince. Because I mean, the little nuggets of things I'm seeing of your career. It's very storied, and I'm looking at you right now. I'm glad you still have a full head of hair after that 5 year journey in the States and coming back over here. Because that's quite a struggle. It didn't do too. I mean, maybe this is me saying it was a difficult journey. That's why you had to close down. But what were the key lessons that you picked up in that 5 year stay in the States, and what did you learn from there? Might have been painful, might have been great, but it was able to inform your future decisions.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think the most difficult part really is you really need to try to understand the market that you're getting into. So for example, when we launched that product, that SMS platform, so we made it available to all the radio stations. In fact, when we launch it, we have more than 100 radio stations, right, signed up. So all the signals are there, right, that okay, parang distraction. And then what we realize is, why aren't they using it? Why is there no messages coming in? And what we realize is you need to train them, right, on how to use the platform. And training like 100 stations is difficult, right, because they're in different states. And that's where the problem is, right? You need to be ready and plan ahead on how to do customer success or basically onboard them. And then as a startup, right, you don't have enough capital. You don't have a lot of capital. And that's one of my major learnings, because I'm doing SMS for radio station, but we're also doing games. We're also doing a lot of things, a dating product, etc. And that's what I said. As a startup, you can only do one thing, right? You can't think like a conglomerate because you're basically spending your money in different products. So that's basically the biggest learning, RJ.
Yeah. And when you were doing that, I'm just interested to find out, you put up a company in the States, but what were you bootstrapping at the time that you put up the company over there? Did you have investors? How did you do that? Because for me, that's totally amazing for me. You packed your bags, you went there, you put up a company, you got 100 stations on board. That's quite a feat in itself.
Yeah, no, I have a business partner who helped me, or we basically put up the company. So we're okay. We're fine, right? Running the company. Engineers are back here in the Philippines, so that's nice. That's a nice thing, right, about the Filipino developers in here, but you're earning in US dollar.
So you could keep the cost, apparently you could keep the costs down because at least the back end was, you were outsourcing basically to the Philippines, the back office operations.
Yes. So that's basically what happened.
Okay. Now, the next thing is you went into sort of like you realize that content is king. Developing content and gaming was king. And there are many people here right now wanting to get into that game. But what did you see as being, you know, what makes for good content? If you take your bigger picture, you know, you've seen the evolution of content here as well, from horoscope to what it is right now. And what have you been seeing in terms of that content play? What should people be looking at? Or how do they develop unique content that really stands out, that you've seen at least in the digital world?
Right. Yeah, so I agree, content is king, right? But if you're a content provider, you're always going to look at your distribution, right? And there's a saying, if content is king, distribution is King Kong, right? But,
okay.
Yeah, so you need to plan your distribution. And in 917 Ventures, I guess, that's basically our super unfair advantage. The distribution is that 80 million strong loyal customers of Globe Telecom. So if you imagine how we did it right before in Globe, we have very strong content partners from Facebook, Spotify, Netflix, Disney, NBA. They're really good content, and the distribution is basically the telco distribution. So if you're a content company you want to start somewhere, you really need to think of your distribution strategy. And most often, that's an operator that you need to work with or partner with.
Wow. And so that's the King Kong over there. In the King also as well, what did you see? Did you see anything specific? You said that you had to pivot when you entered Globe. You had to actually pivot how the content strategy of Globe, I guess, no? What did you see as being what could have been improved with Globe, and what pivot did you make? What did you see in the market that had to be changed and that made you want to change how Globe was doing, I guess, entertainment, digital entertainment?
No, I'm not part of that that part of the business. When I joined Globe, I was running the Entertainment Gateway Group, which is basically a content provider. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Globe.
Okay,
we were doing content then, right? Basically selling ringtones and
so that's the content for you guys. The content was basically, sorry when I think of content, tamayan, but content is not only what you can watch, it's content is like ringtone or
games.
No, horoscope jokes, games, mga
yeah. So we were doing that one. That's like a long time ago. It's like, I don't know, 2010 maybe. It was still a thriving business then. Very, very popular. But remember back in the day we're in, they said, hey, stop sending those spam or broadcast messages, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's complaining. And then, of course, when they did that one, obviously, not a lot of customers are opting in because you're not promoting to them. So what we did in Entertainment Gateway Group is basically, hey, we need to look for other revenue streams. And that's where it started. We created this unit of like software development and outsourcing projects. So that did really, really well. That company grew like literally overnight because of the development unit. And then the third part there is we created the mobile advertising business inside Entertainment Gateway Group, which is now, by the way, is AdSpark. Right.
So okay.
So imagine that one. It was an incubatee inside Entertainment Gateway Group. And then the company basically decided, okay, let's spin it off as a standalone company. And then usually when you spin off a company, I strongly believe that growth happens, right? Because you're independent, you should act like a grown up, you know what I mean? You're not dependent to your parent, and therefore you do what it takes to survive. And
got it. Oh.
These are the companies that basically do. Same goes with GCash.
Now, when you finally moved to Globe and you took that position of innovation, I find it, you know, it's kind of a difficult position to be in because innovation means it's something that's company-wide, and you sort of tell everybody, okay, you gotta be innovative. What exactly do you have to do to help a company become innovative? Because to my mind, to be innovative, at least as an entrepreneur, is that you have to be disruptive. If you're an innovator, if you're chief innovation in a company, and you're asking them to disrupt, you're telling people, I might lose my job, or you know, you're disrupting how I'm doing things right now. What exactly do you have to do to be how to be an innovator inside a corporate environment?
That's a really good question, RJ. The Globe, it's the conviction on innovation is really there. In fact, when I joined them, they're just starting that innovation group. And then they decided that, hey, we should now look into the future of Globe Telecom. Meaning, yes, this is our core business, but we need to create additional businesses. And then the mandate then for me was to create white space businesses. When I say white space, these are not telco product businesses. So it can be anything, just like what we're building in 917 Ventures. So we executed that one with the right process and with the right mindset. The team that I built there, basically there's a specific innovation training, right? Because innovation is all about solving a customer pain point or basically that unmet need. And that's difficult, right, to spot because...
Exactly. Those are my thoughts, exactly, yeah.
It's really difficult to spot. And after doing that, undergoing that training, we followed the process wherein we ideated a lot and then we approved some projects, we piloted. If it's successful, we were hoping that the core business will take it on. And that's basically the learnings there. If you experimented on a startup, just like what we're doing in the innovation team inside Globe, it's difficult, right? Because even if it's a really good product, and as a startup, if the revenue that it will give you is small at the start, and therefore it looks like a distraction, right? Why am I gonna support that? Because it's small palang, diba? And that's basically the challenge. So we have really, really good ideas. And I think what happened now in 917 Venture is around the perfect scenario for us now. We're in 917 Venture is separate from the Globe Telecom. It has its own capital, and then we build it outside Globe Telecom. And then whatever we built here, we operate on our own. And then we just ask and collaborate with the core business support to support the startup that we built. And that's working so far for us.
I have a particular question, Vince. Now, when you look at innovation, what exactly, I mean, when you say the word innovation, because I mean, you say it's a unique selling prop. It's, you know, people say it's a unique selling proposition. It's something that you build into the system. But when you see other products which you created, what exactly are you looking for a product when you can say that it's innovative? What exactly did it do?
For me, RJ, as long as it's solving a pain point, right? A customer pain point differently. For me, that's innovative already. Now, what kind of products or projects that personally that I'm looking into? I really like solving big problems, right, with big markets, because in that case, right, if you're solving a big problem in a big market, the value that you'll be able to create is big.
Hi, this is Jason Law, best-selling author, speaker, and now the host of the Unique Life podcast, where I discuss the four different types of personalities so that you will know your strengths and weaknesses and that of others. Join me as we try to unbox life and the wonders of your own unique personality, only here in Podcast Network Asia. I'll catch you there.
A good friend over here, I think you know him as well, Vince Tobias, is asking a question, which is about, you know, solving big problems, because it all goes back to the idea of scalability of the product which you create, right? I mean, you might have a great, you're solving a problem, but how big a problem are you solving, right? And he said, Vince says over here, and if Val can see it, the characteristics of a good founder and of a good scaler are different. How do you optimize the leadership of a startup through its life stages? And I'm sure you've seen that. There's differences between people who can found a business and a scale a business. How do you have the same set of leaders for that one, especially if you're putting up a startup business? Or should a startup person say, you know, let me step back, give it to somebody else to run the business day to day? Because I'm a good start upper, but I'm not a good sustainer or scaler.
You know what? Vince Tobias, my katokayo. I work with Vince Tobias in the, we sit on the same, ano, Ayala Corporation Innovation Advisory or Council. Yes, I think a lot of, there are guys that are really good at ideating and validating initiatives. And then there are a lot of guys also that are really good at scaling a company. When I say scaling, you validated the market, you validated the product, now you want to grow the business. Growing a business is harder because you need to work on HR, hire a lot of engineers, put in the right processes and all the discipline and the rigor in running a business. In my opinion, there are executives that's good at that. And if you notice, even like a Google, right, they hire professionals to run the business side. They hired Eric Schmidt. Same goes with Mark Zuckerberg, right? Started the company but hired a professional, Sheryl Sandberg, to run the business side. So I guess it's really the acknowledgement that, hey, yes, I started the company, I'm the first venture builder, but you need to acknowledge that if you're not good at it, try bring in the right people to scale the business.
What point should you bring that person to scale the business? I'm curious because, you know, I mean, that's basically my business, Mercato. My wife, he co-founded it. We don't know, you know, when's the right time to say, I'll build the skill set myself, or it's time to give it to somebody else to start professionalizing the business. All entrepreneurs go to say, I'm sure as a, you know, going through the same experience yourself, Vince, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. Me, I guess the best signal is if you can no longer answer your questions, your own questions, right? Because a professional will probably answer it quickly. So for example, how can I optimize my acquisition cost, right, from X amount to this amount? If you can no longer answer it, there are more experienced professionals out there that can help you out. So it's either you do that path or you discover it on your own. So it's really up to the entrepreneur, right? Or to the executive. But me, I espouse, right, to hire the right team, hire teams that are better than you all the time, and listen to them, make them accountable. My management style, I always tell the guys, right, that whoever's closest to the system makes that decision. That model will work for most startups or companies or even big companies, because a startup is all about speed and validation and pivoting. It's that culture, right, of accountability and freedom as well that you'd like to build in your company.
And then Vince, okay, finally, you're coming in when they put up 917 Ventures. I love it. The title that you had was Entrepreneur in Residence. Parang sosyal eh, because I know that Jomag also, my business partner from, you know, he's the co-founder of Potato Corner, and he's invested in several businesses. Mercato has been one of them. Another business I run is called Easy Franchise. He's called an Entrepreneur in Residence. And like for me, what he does is that he sort of gives, you know, I sit down with him, gives me 15 minutes of great insight on entrepreneurship, and wow, we're on the go. What do you do also as well? What does it mean by when you're an entrepreneur in residence in 917? When you were the entrepreneur in residence in 917 Ventures, what did you do over there?
Yeah, as an EIR, you're basically like a founder, right, of a startup. As an EIR, when I was in 917 Venture, I'm basically driving new initiatives from PowerPoint to validation. So you're acting like a founder, but under a corporate umbrella, right? So that's basically an EIR in 917 Ventures. And then you work with venture builders. Venture builders are basically like your co-founders, right? Helping you out, validating your product.
Moving on, I want to really talk about right now. Now in 917 Ventures, you've got several companies there right now. Tell me a bit more about them and really why you've identified them as being really good businesses that you think not only qualify for 917 Ventures, but you saw that there was a potential to scale them. And as an entrepreneur, you saw that these were really problems that could be solved.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So as mentioned, GCash, we're very familiar with GCash, right? One of the largest, if not the largest, fintech company in the country, solving all the financial challenges or pain points of our colleagues or our kababayans. So I'm not going to talk on about that one. But for health tech, which is very, very important for us and as a group, access to quality healthcare here in the Philippines is very difficult, right? So if you're in a barrio, I guess the nearest doctor, you need to travel, right? Maybe 30 to an hour to get to the nearest doctor. So what we did with our health tech product for health tech businesses is to provide quality healthcare to the underserved just by dialing a simple phone number or downloading the Consulta app or the HealthNow app. And then you'll be able to talk to a doctor at the comfort of your home. Second is, another problem is on the medicine side. So if you download the HealthNow app, you will have access, right, to a pharmacy through your mobile phone. So right after the consultation, the doctor will give you a prescription, and then you can use that prescription to order your medicine through HealthNow, and it will be delivered to you to your doorstep. So during this pandemic, that's very, very important, wherein we don't like our kababayans going to like a hospital, right? And you might catch the virus there. So stay at home, use the app, get the prescription, order it using the app, and then the product's going to get delivered to you. Another product that we basically launched is PureGold, as mentioned. That's in partnership with PureGold. Yeah, so it's an online grocery. We launched that one recently. It's available now in Metro Manila. So the pain point is the same, right? You don't want our kababayans to go to the store. So what they can do is basically shop online and then we'll deliver the product to their doorstep. And a lot of these pain points, that big pain points, right, that we're trying to solve for our customers. And customers likes it and loves it because they are they're using it.
And not moving on, I really love our talk here right now. We don't have much time left here, Vince, but I wanted to go to the idea right now that you've seen a lot. I mean, you put up two companies in the midst of this pandemic, which is the PureGo and the Health Now. I want to know, like, as you know, what do you, you know, they say that in every crisis, there's an opportunity. Winston Churchill once said that it's, you know, I don't want to make a good crisis go to waste, right? And what are you seeing as sort of like the emerging opportunities as a result of this pandemic and moving on to the new normal? If I was an entrepreneur right now, whether or not I want to become a venture builder with 917 Ventures or not, what excites you? You know, like if somebody thought of ideas in a specific realm or opportunity, what would excite you as the managing director of 917 Ventures?
Okay. So for 917 Venture, what excites me really is I strongly believe that the startups that we're building now are going to be the big companies in the next 4 to 5 years. I have a strong conviction on that one. So that excites me a lot. The resources that we have and the Globe ecosystem is what's going to bring these startups to a scaled up startup. Now, what kind of ideas, right, should we build, or what are these opportunities? I always ask myself, what are these pain points that I personally experience, right, that annoys me a lot? If you're an entrepreneur, that's my suggestion. Solve something that you experience on a daily basis, right? Or on a weekly basis. The more frequent that you experience that problem, the better for us to solve it, right? Because frequency, basically, so imagine, right? If you want to solve a problem that you experience frequently, you need to pay for it like X times also, right? To solve that problem. And that's basically the business model. So I guess there are a lot of problems out there, especially during this pandemic.
And with that, Vince, let's invite people one more time, those who want to sign up to become venture builders, those with great passion, those people with really great ideas, those people who cannot sleep at night because there's a problem that they want to solve. Again, how do they sign up for the Velocity program of 917 Ventures?
Right. So I'd like to invite the venture builders out there who wants to build startups inside a corporate environment, go to Velocity. .917ventures.com. Fill up the application form and we're gonna give you a call back for a quick interview. And then for the ideas, again, there are a lot of ideas out there. Globe is a staunch supporter of the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals. If you look at those goals, I think we're gonna be fine. So no poverty, right? That's the number one goal of SDG. Zero hunger, good health, quality education. Just look at those goals. And there are a lot of pain points, right? With those four goals. And then I think we should talk.
But with that, thanks so much. We were with the Managing Director of 917 Ventures, Vince Yamat. We want to wish you all a merry, merry Christmas. Thank you so much from the RJ Ledesma podcast. We'll see you again in the next podcast.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.